In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The Word of God is the basis for our sermon this morning, is the scripture reading of the words of the hymn we just sang in Matthew chapter 5, the first 12 verses commonly called the Beatitudes of our Lord. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God. One of the readings at the inauguration of our new president was the Beatitudes. In the particular translation that the reader used, the words read just a little bit differently. For example, he read, "God will bless the poor in spirit. God will bless those who mourn. God will bless the meek," and so forth. This translation, to me, seems to give the indication that those qualities in people that Jesus describes are the cause of his blessings, or the reasons for which they are blessed. Nothing could be further from the truth. What Jesus is saying here is quite different from turning blessed into a verb. It's an adjective attached to those whom the Holy Spirit has already called to faith in Jesus Christ. These blessings of mourning, of meekness, of purity in heart, of making peace, those are qualities that Jesus attaches to those who believe in him. And because they believe in him, desire to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, which incidentally he preached only to his disciples, was a message, a sermon with comforting and reassuring words. To those who are unbelievers, who do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit through faith, these words make no sense at all. In fact, to them they are twisted and almost the opposite of what Jesus is really saying. They're a little bit like the words in Alice in Wonderland. But to those who trust in Jesus Christ, to those who seek the same attitude as Jesus, an attitude of humility, an attitude of self-sacrifice and peacemaking with others, because we are at peace with God, the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ are a multi-faceted gem with many different sides. Blessedness does not lie in my power. Blessedness is in demonstration of the Spirit's power. First of all, that means that this blessedness is completely foreign to unbelievers. And secondly, that this blessedness leads to great reward in heaven. The Greek word that's translated in English, blessed or blessed, has the essential meaning of to be happy, to be well off, to be fortified. And so Jesus is describing those qualities that belong to his disciples, to those whom by grace God has given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit now dwells in our hearts. Being poor in spirit, mourning over our sins, being meek before God, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of Christ, being merciful as we have received mercy, being pure in heart, desiring to make peace, being persecuted, insulted, and spoken against by our enemies, those all describe who we are as Christians. And that for us, those are blessings. We are blessed by God to be believers, and we have great blessing in living our lives in a way completely foreign to unbelievers. A way completely foreign to the way we were before we became the children of God. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a strong wind that blows away the fog of self-righteousness and pride that often rolls in to cover our hearts and our minds. It reminds us that we are not like the world. We are not like we were before we were the children of God. And what the world looks down upon are the things that you and I consider blessings in our lives. We consider that we are blessed because the Holy Spirit has worked knowledge of our sin, mourning over our sin, a meekness and humility before God that says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling." It is the righteousness of Christ under the law that we seek through faith and are filled so that we are pure in heart, so that we are at peace with God and willing to make peace with each other when we are tempted to be at war. It is a blessedness that enables us to be persecuted, to be insulted, to have others speak against us as if we were looking for something that really doesn't exist. As if we were mad to think that these things are good for us. They were going to get ahead in the world. They were going to even be able to somehow please God with those kind of attitudes. The Beatitudes remind us that we are happy, that we are well off, and that we are indeed fortified against the world in the demonstration of the Spirit's power that we have in the Word and Sacrament. The Beatitudes, the qualities of the Beatitudes, are what identify us as the children of God. They are what identify us as members of the kingdom of God. They are what we know that we have now and see in part, But one day we'll have glory and exaltation and freedom from persecution when our Father takes us to His right hand to be with our Savior Jesus. Such mistreatment, such qualities are those that we share with the prophets who have gone before us and the believers who preceded us. They endured the same abuse for the sake of Christ and for His word. Isaiah wrote about all the preaching he did, who has believed our report? Jeremiah called Israel, Judah, to repentance before the destruction of their city and their slavery and captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah knew his enemies' plans against him. Those plans were this: let us destroy the tree and its fruit. They were talking about Jeremiah. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. And the writer to the Hebrews says of those believers who have gone before us, they were tortured, flogged, chained in prison, sawed in half. Well, you get the idea. Such blessedness is completely foreign to unbelievers. Unbelievers who do not think that humility is a good quality, who think that meekness is something that will set you back and put you back in this world. Unbelievers think that allowing their hearts and minds to be filled with the lusts of the flesh and the pride of the eyes is something that's okay. They don't seek the righteousness of Christ, but rather seek their own righteousness. Remember that we all carry around that unbeliever in our flesh, in our sinful nature. With the Beatitudes, Jesus was reminding his disciples then and reminding us that we have every reason to be happy, that we have every reason to know that we are fortified against our enemies, to have every reason to know that we are well off, because we don't seek and don't treasure the things of this world, but rather now look at life through the eyes of the Spirit. That we look at life now as opposite of the way that we used to look at it and the way the world still looks at it. That we are able to daily drown our old Adam in our baptism as he tries to rise up and convince us that, no, that's not the way we are. That's not the way God wants us and makes us to be. And we can say to him, that's a lie. That is not true. This is the way we are. This is the way the Spirit has made us. We mourn over our sins. We reject any righteousness of our own. We are at peace with God, and we don't need to be anxious or fearful or doubting about our status with our God. Jesus used these Beatitudes as a strengthening and a reminder, but with a promise. A promise: great is your reward in heaven. And that's the same promise that the writer to the Hebrews mentions about the prophets and about all those Christians I mentioned who were killed for the sake of Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says that they endured all of those things so that they might gain a better resurrection. You and I seek also that better resurrection, that resurrection to glory, that resurrection to be with our Savior Jesus in heaven. Heaven is the greatest reward of God's grace. It is our greatest blessing for the sake of Christ. For now, we live in that blessedness of those qualities that Jesus mentions. But then he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All those men and women and children who were poor in spirit, who mourned over their sins, who were meek, who were pure of heart, who sought the righteousness of the promised Savior, who were persecuted, now they are enjoying that greater reward. Now they are enjoying that deliverance from those things. Now they have perfect peace not only in their souls, but also in eternity, also in their bodies following the resurrection. It is those qualities that identify us as the children of God. Those beatitudes are the characteristics of us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so, dear friends, rejoice in those. Rejoice in those even when the world believes that you're fooling yourself. Even when the world thinks that you have the most unrealistic expectation of your future that anybody could ever have. No, rejoice and be glad. As you and I live in those qualities and characteristics and the demonstration of the Spirit's power, we have that sure promise of His great reward in heaven. Others wrongly believe that it's only earthly greatness and power and success that lead to reward in heaven. But we know, in fact, it is just the opposite. It is humility. It is persecution. It is purity of heart. It is trusting in Christ that brings about that great reward in heaven. Not because we earn it, but as the gospel and the power of the Spirit keep us connected to Christ, branches to the vine, in which we get our life and bear our fruits of those blessedness qualities. The white rabbit led Alice down the rabbit hole. And there, everything seemed strange and turned around. So the Beatitudes seemed strange and turned around to the unbeliever. They seem strange as some unrealistic way to go through life. Or they're twisted and turned into some moral goodness by which you can become a child of God. Or that if you, through whatever reason, are those things, that God will bless you because of them, on account of them. To paraphrase the Cheshire Cat to Alice, those people say, they are all mad here. No, we are not mad at all. We are blessed and blessed by God. God has given you and me every spiritual blessing in Christ, seeming to others as lacking everything. You and I realize by the demonstration of the Spirit's power that we lack nothing. For those apart from Christ, our lives of faith and love and of humility and compassion and trust in our Savior, those things just get curiouser and curiouser. But for us, who live in the demonstration of the Spirit, We are blessed in Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen.